Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, new decade. Be future ready with Zurich, the power behind your pension.
The Nations Human Rights Committee has ruled it's unlawful for governments to return people to countries where their lives might be threatened by the climate crisis. The landmark judgment was delivered during the case of a man and his family from the Pacific island of Kiribati. He had applied for asylum in New Zealand in 2013. Niamh Garvey is head of policy and advocacy with Throkara. Niamh, can you tell us more about this specific case and this man and his family, Mr. Te Tiota?
Absolutely. So as you say, he applied for protection in New Zealand back in 2013, and he applied on the basis of his life and the life of his family being at risk due to the conditions in Kiribati, specifically in relation to the availability of fresh water, difficulty growing crops, and the fact that Kiribati is likely to be uninhabitable in the next 10 to 15 years as a result of climate change. So in this particular case, New Zealand rejected his claim, and the judgment today by the Human Rights Committee, it actually upheld New Zealand's rejection of his claim. But what was really significant about the judgment was that while it was saying that the conditions for the threat to the right to life weren't strong enough in this case, because Kiribati and the international community have that 10 to 15 years to protect this man and his family through relocation if necessary, the judgment had incredibly strong language to clarify that under international law, the role and responsibility of states does include the impacts of climate change in relation to the right to life. So up until this ruling, the principle of non-refoulement is what it's called under international law. It is long recognised and as a really key protection under international law that a state cannot return people to their to the sending country if there is a direct threat to their life. Historically, that's understood in relation to conflict or maybe very specific political persecution. And what's really, really significant about today's ruling is this clarification that the impacts of climate change can be recognised as a threat to the right of life and therefore can be a trigger not to return people.
And the decision, Niamh, comes with the huge moral authority of the United Nations. Does it have legal effect? Is it legally binding?
So it's not formally legally binding in terms of the mechanisms, but what it does do is give an interpretation, a clarification to states on what their obligations under international law is. So I suppose the case of this individual in New Zealand, in terms of making claims to on the basis of threat to right to life, states will need to take this judgment into consideration in their future rulings of people's claim for asylum and for refugee status.
And that could happen in this country, that refugees or asylum seekers who have come from many parts of the world could say that they are fleeing the climate crisis. And are you saying that the immigration process and our courts will now need to take that on board?
Absolutely. So our system aims to comply with the guidance of international law. So this ruling is something now that will need to be taken into consideration. And as you say, what we are seeing is that climate change is absolutely exacerbating displacement globally. And in particular, because we failed to do enough to address the key causes of climate change, we haven't done enough as an international community and indeed nationally here in Ireland to reduce our emissions fast enough, urgently enough, to prevent what are really preventable impacts on people around the world.
Just remind us, because I have seen figures, the number of climate refugees that there are globally.
So the global figures for the number of people displaced by sudden climate-related disasters are about 24 million per year, every year since 2008. But the figures for overall refugees are much higher. But I think what's really important also is that the vast majority of those who are displaced internally in their own countries or most commonly to neighbouring countries. Only 60 15% of refugees globally are hosted in developed countries, in the rich countries. And we know that the least developed countries, the poorest countries in the world, they host one-third of the global refugee population. And so what we know is that these increasing pressures on displacement, whether that's by conflict or increasingly, as we're seeing, climate change, are putting additional burdens on some of the poorest countries in the world. And therefore, there's a real need for a humane, compassionate international response to the global movement of people and global displacement, applying here in Ireland, but also globally.
Niamh Garvey from Tróchar, thank you very much.